This morning, we're going to talk about broken loaves, and I'm talking about bread. And I happen to have, and I don't know why the Lord has been doing me this way, but he's been having me do illustrations. And I think it's because I understand better when I can see things. I can get a visual of things. But we're going to begin with Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And I like the way the New Living Translation says. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." Now, that doesn't mean that we're all walking around with broken hearts, but there are times when it does feel that way. We feel like, you know, God, my heart is just hurting here because of situations, because of relationships, because of things that are happening to those we love. And it feels like broken heart. But, you know, I love it. It says, he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He rescues. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Because God is so faithful to his word. He says, the righteous face many troubles. Any of you had any troubles lately? Whew. It's like, wow. The righteous face many troubles. They face them. Doesn't mean they have to give in to them. They face them. They stand up to what the enemy is trying to harass us with. Excuse me. But it says, the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Excuse me. Each time the Lord rescues us. He's faithful. He always does. You know, a lot of us could testify that, hey, you know, this should have happened, but it didn't. Or this should have happened and would have really wiped out the family, but it didn't. Or this should have happened and that, I don't know how we missed that car, but it didn't happen. Because each time the Lord rescues those whose hearts are set to him. Now, we're going to talk for a few minutes about some guys who, you know, they were kind of a broken lot. They were from every different walk of life, and that's Jesus' disciples. So looking in Matthew 15, verse 29, we're going to begin. And it says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there." I like that he goes up to the mountain to sit down because I love to go to the mountains and just sit down. You know, whether it's on a rock or in a rocking chair, I love to go to the mountains and just sit. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord there. Verse 30, "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them," "great multitudes came unto them," unto him, "and they didn't come alone." Did you notice that? What are we doing in the kingdom of God? Are we bringing those with us? Because this is what the multitude did. It says, "Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." Who are we bringing to Jesus' feet? Who are we bringing to Jesus' feet? You know, we all have family members that we know need the Lord. You know, are we bringing them to Jesus' feet? Well, I pray for them. I go to Jesus' feet and I pray. Yes, that's a good starting place. But sometimes we have to put action to our prayers. As the Lord speaks, we have to go and say, "Hey, would you just come with me to church? Or can I just sit down and talk with you for a few minutes? Can I show you some things that God's done in my life?" So we need to be bringing those who need to be healed, who need to be restored, who need to be set free, whether physically or spiritually. So who are we bringing to Jesus' feet? Wow. Verse 31, it says, he healed them insomuch that the multitude wondered. You ever wonder what that looked like when a whole multitude wonders? Wow. Ooh. Sorry, being a little silly there. The multitude wondered. They were in wonder as to what was going on that, wow, all of these people, the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others, were all healed. Every one of them, all healed. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And it says, and they glorified the God of Israel. Thank the Lord. They glorified God. Now, I know a lot of times I hear testimonies from people who say, you know, wow, God healed me. Wow, God healed me. And I'm like, yes, thank you for giving the glory to God. Do you know that God will use methods sometimes just to help us? Like sometimes we have to go to the doctor. But do you know what? If, once you get a spirit-filled doctor in your family, you kind of look at doctors in a whole new light. Because God uses doctors to bring healing. It's not a sin to go to the doctor. It's a sin if you hang on to your sickness and you don't do anything about it, whether it be go to the doctor or go to the Word of God or go to the feet of Jesus. And you have to let the Lord lead you in each way. Now, we've had several testimonies of really, really wonderful healings in the last couple of weeks. Miss Tanya, who I was hoping would be here today so she could share this, but I will share it for her. Some of you know, but a month ago, she had to have a surgery. And the doctors were preparing her up front. Now, you know this is going to be cancer. And, you know, you're going to have to go through all these treatments, and you're going to have to do this and do this. Well, when she came and told me this, I reminded her of the day she asked Pastor Mike and others to come up and pray over her family and break that off of them. I reminded her of that. I reminded her to stand on her faith that God has spoken. When we prayed, He spoke. And the speaking was, cancer has no place in your family. Well, the doctor didn't let up. She went and had the surgery and was to go back to get her report. Because I think they, I don't know if they did biopsies or they did, yes, biopsies. And then she goes to the doctor, and of course, she's having to fight with every ounce of faith within her because she knows she's going back in to hear a doctor's report that says you're going to have to start taking some treatments. This is what we're gonna plan this out here, and this is how it's going to go and all this. So she is battling all the way to the doctor. She gets to the doctor's office. The doctor and an assistant, I believe she said, were in the room with her, and they're reading the report. And the doctor looks at her and says, "This is not your report. Somebody's handed me the wrong report." And the assistant said, "No, that's her report." And he said, "Well, there is no cancer in your body. No cancer in your body." And she said he still couldn't believe it. He kept going, "But this can't be right. This can't be." She, of course, by then she's like, "Oh, yes, it is right. Yes, it is right." But God is doing miracles like that if we bring people to the feet of Jesus. Now, just a few weeks ago, because of my insurance at my job, I have to have a wellness check so they don't keep charging me any more elaborately than they already do for insurance. That was as nicely as I could say that. And so my husband and I both have to go get a wellness check to keep our premiums down. And so we went, and I went, and the doctor was going through the files, you know, looking and, well, what about this? How's this doing? This, all this, you know. So, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm good. I felt better this year than I have in many years. And he said, well, of course, it's because you're eating right and you're losing weight. Okay, enough of that. I hear that from my husband all the time. So, you know, don't want to hear it at the doctor's office. But then he was flipping through the papers and he said, oh, what about this? And I said, what? And he said, oh, we haven't checked this in 3 years. And he said, it says here you have carotid artery disease. And I said, no, sir, I don't. Yeah, it's documented right here. I said, no, sir, I don't have that. Well, and I could see he was getting frustrated, and I was getting frustrated because I knew I didn't have it. And he said, well, let's just go get it checked. It's been 3 years. Well, I was getting angry, which meant I knew I was getting in the flesh. And so I was just quieted myself, and I said, Lord, what do I do here? And he said, calm down. Go get the test and prove to him. Okay. So I go get the test. I just got the results back this past Tuesday, Wednesday. And they call me, and I'm over at Miss Christie's house with her. And on the phone, I'm talking very calmly. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. You know. But when I got the report, I was bouncing up and down and jumping and dancing. And Christy's sitting over there going, what? 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 What's going on? Because she couldn't hear the doctor's side of the conversation. But the results came back and said, there is no significant plaque buildup in your arteries. You're fine. And I wanted to say, I told you, but I didn't. I just went, well, that's great. And that was my voice. My body was, I was bouncing up and down and just dancing around. God will heal when we bring people, when we bring ourselves to his feet, to the feet of Jesus. And that's when you stand there and go, wow, I understand about that. Ooh, wonder. You know, we've seen so many miracles like that. God is on the move to heal his people. He is on the move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So they wondered and they glorified God. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him. Brother Ron, Brother Jeff, would you be Jesus' disciples and come? But he called them and he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Now, if you know anything about the compassion of Jesus, you know that this is a setup for a miracle. Y'all act just like disciples, I'll tell you. No, he's good. No. But Jesus, anytime it said, I have compassion, or Jesus was moved with compassion, that was a setup for a miracle. Always, always. But Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Hey, these people were determined to get their answer, that they would spend 3 days following Jesus around, listening to him teach, waiting for him to touch them and make them whole. And he said, they have nothing to eat, and I'm not going to send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. He's like, you know, we do all these miracles, and then we send them away fasting, and they faint on the way. How's that going to look? So he knows how to take care of us. And his disciples said unto him, in verse 33, whence, which means from what place or source, should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Do you notice they didn't say to feed the multitude? The disciples' hearts was, we want them full. Now, see, that sounds like a mama thing to me because, you know, when mamas have grown kids and they come home, you start shoving food in front of them. Hey, come on, eat this. You know, I got this. You can do this. The disciples wanted them full because they were full spiritually. They were fully healed. They were fully whole. So we want them to be full. They said, where? How? when, you know, how are we going to get enough bread to feed the multitude? You know, the disciples were probably feeling pretty uncomfortable and very inadequate when Jesus asked them about feeding the multitude. Do you notice Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm going to feed the multitude. He asked them to feed the multitude. He asked them to fill the people. The disciples knew that it would take a miracle to not just feed the multitude, but to fill them. Jesus doesn't have to do anything. And the disciples had been with him enough to know, whew, he doesn't have to do anything. He's going to do this all the way. So that means we got to know how, what, when, how to do this. We got to fill the people. We need a miracle. So Jesus said to them in verse 34, how many loaves do you have? He was saying, what do you have? How many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. Do you notice he only asked how many loaves they had? He didn't ask about the fishes. But they were so determined to do all that Jesus wanted them to do that they were like, okay, we got this too, and we can do this. And I know that's the way I am when company comes to my house. I start pulling things out of the refrigerator. Well, we got this, and we can do this, and we can just have a smorgasbord here, and we'll get real creative. You know, and they were saying, we have seven loaves and a few little fishes. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a loaf of bread. And it was really hard not to take a bite of this. Amen. Whew, this bread. Bread, when it is made, as most of you know, it's made with yeast in it, which causes it to rise. It is also worked and kneaded, you know, with hands. You work it, you knead it, unless you have a bread machine like my daughter, and then you throw it in the bread machine, and it does it for you. But it's worked and kneaded, bread is. Now, Jesus had been working and kneading his disciples' faith all of the time they were with him to cause them to rise in faith. Okay? So he's working on them. Now, not only did he do that to the disciples, but he's doing that to us. Jesus works on us, and he kneads us. You know, he gets those areas that are a little lumpy or a little tough. You ever seen them? They'll go, beat that dough. It gets kind of tough. Hey, and they'll work it, and they'll work it. Jesus is doing that to us every day if we allow him to, because he wants our faith to rise. Okay? Now, what do you have, is what Jesus asked them, that has risen life in it? What do you have that's going to cause faith to rise, not just in the disciples, but in the people? Because, you know, Jesus had healed. He had filled them in that way. He had restored many of them. He'd filled them in that way. And now the disciples want to fill them physically with food, so we're filling that way. But Jesus wanted them to be filled with a rising faith that stands up and says, yes, we can do this. So that's what it takes for a miracle in any situation, a rising faith. Now, Jesus knew what was needed. And when it says they had seven loaves, seven, the number seven represents the perfect amount to do what needed to be done. So anytime we are looking for a miracle, anytime we have a need, Jesus always provides the exact amount that's needed or the exact situation that's needed to cause us to provide for ourselves, to cause us to provide for others. If we let our faith rise through the word and through relationship with the Lord. And do you notice I said, if we let, you know, our faith can sit stagnant and nothing happen. But if we allow God to do that working in us, and we feel our faith starts rising, it starts rising. But if we let our faith to rise through the Word and our relationship with the Lord, we will have every time what we need for a miracle. Every time, because we will be filled. All right. Verse 35, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes. Jesus took their faith offering. That was all they had, and they gave him all. That is a step of faith. Jesus took their faith offering, and the first thing he did was he gave thanks. God in heaven, as I lift this offering to you, I ask for your blessings. I thank you, God, that your people will see your fullness. Thank you, God. And when he did that, when he blessed it, a miracle began happening. And then it says, he broke it. Miracles growing. And then he gave it to the disciples. The miracle's now spreading. And the disciples gave to the multitude. The miracle has now gone from a loaf of bread to the disciples, to the multitude. Do you know that miracles were never meant to be bottled? Miracles are meant to be shared. And it says they all did eat, and they were filled. They were filled. Wow. The disciples' desire was to see the people filled. Through this miracle of 7 loaves of bread, they were filled. And it says they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Again, enough to do what needed to be done. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Now, if I were a reporter standing on the sidelines watching this, I would want to hear people's responses. So, first of all, I'm going to go interview, as a reporter, some of the crowd. Ma'am, what did you experience in that you just saw?
A miracle.
How did that make you feel?
Astounded, astonished.
Do you believe Jesus is filling you?
Yes.
Let's see. Let's find others. Here's a family. Sir, what did you just experience? He's in wonder.
I experienced a blessing, and I've been fed, and I'm not hungry.
Boy, that speaks volumes.
Joy unspeakable.
Joy unspeakable. That's the crowd's reaction. I see the disciples eating the bread up there. Hey, they got to be filled too. Well, let me ask the disciples. What did you witness as feeding the people?
Hold it in, Chip. I saw things happen that I've got to see Jesus do, and I'm a part of that, and to be able to see the miracle happen as we were going. And just people wondering, are they going to be fed?
Wow. Wow. What about you, sir?
I'm just so full. Can't even talk right now. I'm just full. It was amazing.
Yes. It's amazing to be used by Jesus in a miracle, isn't it? It's amazing to do that. Thank you, guys. You can leave the bread or take it either way. Thank you, Lord. But then there's one more that I would interview, and that's the bread. Bread, since you are the vessel used here, can you tell us how you're feeling? How, you know, what's happening here?
Well, I'm a little choked up at the moment, trying not to get my dough soggy. Because I couldn't help but think back to this morning when they came to get the bread to take with them. And I heard a voice say, "This one's ready." And he said, "You don't know how long I've waited to hear those words. This one's ready." He said, "It made me remember when I was first being created, how the dough was lumpy and they had to work and work and work it. And then I didn't rise like I should have. And then when I thought everything was going good and I started rising, they put me in the fire. And it was hot in there. But by then, I knew I could rise in the fire." And he said, "And then they take me out and they put me in the basket with the other 6 loaves because they said, 'This one's ready.' And to be here in the Master's hands, I was overwhelmed when he blessed me. I was overwhelmed. I thought, 'This is it. I have it made. I am blessed by the Master.' But then he broke me. And I didn't understand what was going on. But he broke me. And the breaking was not harsh. It was not evil. I've never felt such love in the breaking. And then I saw as he gave those pieces to the people that it was feeding thousands. And all I could do was give God glory that the miracle of my breaking was filling thousands. Thank you, Bread, for sharing your story with us. So many times we experience brokenness when we thought we finally got there, only to find it was a place of brokenness. You know, the very first scripture we read, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saves such as be of a contrite spirit. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue every time. Do you know that God is calling us to rise up, to increase our faith
so that when we face times of brokenness, we rise up and keep moving. If we camp out in brokenness, we have become useless to the kingdom of God. We must rise. We must allow God to work in us so that when we feel that brokenness, that defeated, that I can't take anymore, we remember what the bread said. He took my brokenness and filled thousands. There's some thousand fillers in here. Each one of us should be filling others. And it's when we rise up in our faith and we allow those broken times, because they do happen. It says the righteous face many troubles. We allow God to work in those areas and we don't camp out there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask now that God, you help us, Lord, to intervene in the lives of those around us by getting out of ourselves and getting into you. That, Lord, brokenness is just an event. Brokenness is only for a season. It's only for a season, because the word tells us we are to rise again. Rise in faith. Every step that the Lord orders for us is a step of faith. And we are rising with each step of faith that we take. We are drawing closer to the Lord with each step of faith we take. But you know, sometimes we get stuck in brokenness. Sometimes we let it oppress us. That's not the place to be. God has a plan, a purpose for each one of us. And it requires us to take one step after another in faith and to not sit down in oppressive brokenness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we just give you glory, Lord. We give you glory that you use our brokenness for the thousands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we are your vessels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I want to ask you a couple of questions, and if you would just bow your heads, please. Nobody looking around. The first question I want to ask is that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, would you do that today? Would you allow Jesus to come in and fill you? Would you allow Jesus to take away the oppression, to take away the brokenness, and to bring healing and wholeness into your spirit? If you would like to do that, would you just lift your hand and we're going to pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I just want to give opportunity, because Jesus is so good. He's so good. He filled me when I was so broken. But when I came to him and I said, Lord, I need you, he filled me and is filling me every day. So if you would like to do that, would you just lift your hand, please? Just lift your hand and we will pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you fill us. God, I just ask now that as each one of us turn our hearts to you, that, Lord, your saving power floods us. Your holy, holy spirit moves on us, touches us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I thank you, Father God, for the healing wholeness. I thank you for rescuing us, Lord, out of the hand of the enemy. I give you glory for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The other question I have is that if you have been dealing with being stuck in brokenness, would you just come to the altars and let's pray together? If that's something that's tried to hinder your walk with the Lord, hey, let's shut it down. Let's shut it down. Or if you have any need that you would like for us to pray with you about, please feel free to come. So if you would do that now, if we would all stand, please. And if you need to come to the altar, if you need to lay down brokenness, if you need to lay down the hopelessness that's trying to set in on you, lay it down. Lay it down. Be that bread that says, God, take my brokenness and feed the thousands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Give you glory, Lord. I give you glory, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We just want to give a few moments for God to move this morning. Just take this time to press in. His presence is here. Press in like you've never done before. Press in. God is moving. Don't miss what he has for you this morning. Don't miss it. God still performs miracles. Still performs miracles because he loves us. How do we press in? Worship him. Take a moment to worship.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
To tell him thank you for everything that he has done. For being the sacrifice on our behalf. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Said earlier, God is on the move. He is moving and he is on the move. Things are changing. Things are happening in this place and you can be a part of it. Allow him to move. Allow him to move in your life. We can say he's moving, but unless you allow it, nothing will change. Allow his presence in. Allow it to permeate every part of your being. Every aspect of your life. Allow him in. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your promise that you bring us through, that you complete the work, that you bring the finish. And that in these times that we have a brokenness, as it was said, we rise and we fulfill the calling that you have placed in us.
Yes.
We bless your name this morning. We bless your name. Lord, I declare that the seed is protected. The seed is planted so deep that the enemy cannot access it. And Lord, in your time, that the seed cultivates and sprouts and takes root in your time. Lord, whether it be immediately or later, I don't know. But you are the bringer of life. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the word that was brought into this place by Miss Renee. We thank you for the obedience in your servants. And Lord, where do we go when your presence is moving? When your presence is here? I want everyone to lift their hands in honor to our Savior. We honor you. We honor you this morning. And just take a moment to say, we love you. I love you. I want you to tell him, say, I love you. Because he loves to hear the praises and the thank yous from his children. He takes delight in that. Lord, we bless your name this morning. We bless your name. And we just want to take the moment to say thank you for your people this morning. Thank you for your servants. We thank you for the people that are part of this body that have chosen to come and assemble here, that are planted and are growing in this place. Bless them this week. Lord, we continue to lift up every prayer request from Junior to Bella. Lord, everyone that has a need this morning, Lord, we continue to lift up those needs to you. Lord, we anticipate the good news to come, the praise reports to come. Because you get all the glory. You get all the praise, because it's not in anything we can do, but it's all in your power. By your Spirit. I
I proclaim peace and joy over your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.